Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you, and we're joined right now by our great friends from the Weather Eye Weather Center. Good morning, Paul. Oh, good morning, Paul. You there?
Yeah, good morning.
Hey, there you are. How's it going today, Paul?
Not too bad. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good over here, enjoying this sunshine, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, taking that in.
How long do we have it, Paul? How long do we
as we all know, it hasn't seemed to last too long this
winter, more than
a day or two at most here. And it looks like we'll get some sun tomorrow, but the clouds start to roll in later on Wednesday, and then cloudy pretty much the rest of the week after that. Taking that sun while we got it here today, highs about mid-30s. Light winds as well throughout. 19 tonight, partly cloudy. South wind developing 5 to 10. Some sunny breaks Wednesday, and then the clouds starting to build in. Later in the day, 46 tomorrow. South winds 10 to 20. Cloudy Wednesday night. A couple light rain showers could move in late. Upper 30s. Light rain showers in that forecast for Thursday, 45. And then light rain showers looking to turn over to some light snow showers later Thursday night as we head back near 30. Snow showers around for Friday, nothing more than some light accumulations at this point into Friday with highs at about 34. North winds 15 to 25. Snow showers still around Friday night and a Saturday, 18 Friday night, 27 Saturday with those breezy northwest winds. 14 Saturday night. Partly sunny skies move in Sunday, mid-30s, back to 40 on Monday of next week then. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Always appreciate the updates, Paul. Thanks so much for that. We'll talk again tomorrow, okay?
Hey, you bet. Sounds good.
Have a good one.
Sounding too bad.
No, it didn't sound too bad, no. We can handle that.
Yeah.
I feel like we've proven over the last week or so, and you know, we can handle whatever's coming at us.
We just keep on keeping on.
I'm not trying to taunt Mother Nature. I apologize to Mother Nature if that's the way that came across. I just tried to say that we can handle a lot. Please be nice to us, Mother Nature.
Yes, we like you a lot.
So during the break, Melissa, you got a text message.
I did, from one of our awesome listeners. And so we got to do a little more diving into this laundry situation, specifically with jeans.
Yes.
Because we had so many questions. Mm-hmm. And our lovely listener, Laura, sent us an article from today.com.
Thank you, Laura.
That digs into this a little more. So Levi Strauss CEO has suggested going so far as to never washing your denim.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
But that's a lot.
That seems extreme.
Mm-hmm.
That seems a little.
Mm-hmm.
And that's interesting coming from Levi's, because you would think that they tell you to wash your jeans more.
So you have to buy more.
Yeah.
You would think. But, you know, if they want them to hold up.
I guess
exactly.
Because
that's what this is about. So
yes.
Patrick Richardson, laundry expert and the host of The Laundry Guy on Discovery Plus. suggests don't choke on your coffee.
The perfect
number of washings is after 9 or 10 wearings.
Mm.
It's likely at that point you'll have acquired a few stains. They're probably a little sweaty, so you may need to wash them. Really? Okay.
Huh. What are these people doing in their jeans?
I don't know what they do in their jeans. So he recommends using a warm setting on a short cycle, because warm will activate your detergent and make everything work really well, but the short cycle keeps them from tumbling too much because the abrasiveness is the worst thing.
Mm.
So, but then the article goes on to say experts from this director of global health at SUNY Upstate Medical University, Dr. Stephen Thomas, said, "I think 3 wears is a good threshold to trigger a wash."
Hmm.
However, exercising good hygiene can never steer you wrong. If your clothes are visibly dirty or putting off a foul odor, wash them.
Yeah. Seems like a pretty good rule of thumb.
I would think so. Mm-hmm. And if waiting to wash them doesn't sit right with you, there are a few hacks you can try to keep them clean. Just don't put them in the freezer.
Hmm. Yeah.
Smith said this is a myth, and your jeans will only end up smelling like frozen food. So they recommend spot treating your jeans with soap and water as needed, but actually you can spritz them with vodka.
Oh.
And this is something that actually they do in Broadway to keep stage costumes fresh between shows. So you just spritz them with a little vodka in a spray bottle.
Huh.
And that will help remove the odors.
Gotcha.
It doesn't really clean them,
yeah,
per se,
yeah,
but at least they don't smell.
I mean, there's that. I guess you got that going for it. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's options if you really want your jeans, because the whole thing is to keep the color the same, to keep the structure of the material solid.
You know, I had a friend message that, well, this is, you know, we're talking about kind of like business casual or that kind of thing. I mean, people that work in their jeans, it's a whole different story, obviously. Mm-hmm. When I worked in construction, I wore jeans most of the time. And yeah, those things.
You're not going to wear them more than once.
Nope.
Or you shouldn't.
No, no. Very obviously different with the, whatever job you're doing.
Right. Now, I mean, for me personally, the more comfortable the jeans become by, like, the fabric itself breaking down and becoming a little stretchy or just, you know, fitting better, mm-hmm, I'm all for it.
Yeah, yeah. There's not a lot of things that I like after they're, that I don't like to wear after they're washed. Like, you know, usually things, you like them and you wash them before you wear them and that kind of thing. But there's very few things that the more you wash them, the more I like them. Like, it doesn't seem to be the case for me.
Okay.
It seems to be, like, the more I wash something, the less I enjoy it, or the less it's comfortable or whatever, which makes me think I'm not washing my clothes right, which is very weird, because I've been doing it for a very long time.
Maybe possible.
Have to look into that, maybe.
The other thought process is, I mean, you've seen jeans today that they're selling for $70 to $150 have big, giant holes in them.
Yes, yes,
and
yes.
And rips here and there, and there's stuff, like, just hanging. Those you probably don't want to wash as often because they're already deteriorated. What's going to happen after you wash them 50 times? There'll be nothing left.
Yeah, yeah. That makes a good. That's a very solid point right there. You end up you go looking in the dryer. There's just a couple like
strings.
Yeah.
Like, and a zipper
and a button. Yeah, that's it. that's all that's left. The never-ending debate. Well, thank you, Laura, again for that. That was great. That's a great article. That was great. The never-ending debate over money buying happiness surfaced again recently. So a new poll asked, would you rather have a low-paying job that you love or a high-paying job that you hate? Only 50% of people would want a low-paying job that they love, but that's still 50%. I wouldn't say only. I think that that's pretty good.
That's a 50%. Pretty good percentage.
Yeah. 26% said that they'd want a high-paying job that they hate, and 24% said that they're not sure, which is probably the best answer because no one would be completely happy with either. The poll also asked if being rich would make you happy. 22% of people said being loaded would bring much more happiness. 40% said somewhat more happiness. And 26% said it would have no effect. 6% of people claimed being rich would lead to less happiness.
Well, you know, it doesn't really say where these people are coming from at their point in life. And it also doesn't say what low paying means. Does that mean you're making enough to, you know, survive,
well,
to pay your bills?
I think there's something that we should clarify here. If it's a politician asking, then they believe $7.15 is plenty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, plenty to be able to make a living off of it, everything. So apparently they believed it less. But you know, if we're asking a normal person, a regular human being or something like that, how much they can make a living or what is a fair wage or what is a lot and what is an average, I think that's a different answer.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
It was a snarky way to respond on my part, but I couldn't help it.
That's okay. And I'm tempted to come back with, well, if they're okay with $7.25 as the federal minimum wage, why aren't they making that?
Absolutely.
However, then who would we have that would want to be in office? Well, nobody, because nobody can live on that.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Not that the federal minimum wage should be what our politicians make necessarily.
Oh, but
But it's not a terrible idea.
No.
Kind of like them having the same health care as everybody else.
You know, we do that. Maybe some things would change. Maybe, you know, if everybody's on the same playing field here. Do you have some comments on this? Do you have some feedback how you would vote on this? Where you land on this one?
Well, I have chosen to take a lower paying job that I love. over, you know, I'm sure I could find a job that I make more money that I probably wouldn't like as much.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I'm in the 50% that's choosing to do something that I love for less pay.
Yeah, I was in high school when I made the decision that I was going to choose my passion over money.
Mm-hmm.
I had spent my whole life poor, and I saw a lot of people, and this is, you know, it's junior year, sophomore year in high school, you're starting to make plans for college and these things, and all I'm reading at the time are articles from actors like Gary Sinise and people like that that are saying, this is a struggle, this is hard, this is not a life for, you know, you should have a
day job.
An investor, somebody that is going to help you pay for classes and these things, to help you get to Juilliard, all this stuff that I can't even wrap my mind around. Mm-hmm. And there's never going to happen for me. So even if I do want to do that as a career and it's going to be less money, can I even do this? Is it, am I going to make the connections that I need to make? How am I ever going to become a Screen Actor Guild member? I don't know anybody. Mm-hmm. Everything I read about acting at that point was the only way to make it as an actor is to have an agent. Well, the only way to get an agent is to be a Screen Actor Guild member. And the only way to get into Screen Actors Guild is to have an agent. It's one of these weird things.
Vicious cycle. You like, can't actually get
in. How the hell am I supposed to ever
get
in this industry?
Yeah.
But I decided that I don't have a decision in this. I could do a billion other jobs in this world. I'm good with my hands. I can work construction. I can do other gigs that I can make a heck of a lot more money at. But I would be incredibly unhappy. Mm-hmm. And I just decided that I money was not going to make me happy, that this would make me more happy. I also can't tell you if money would make me happy because I've never had money. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. I love to talk a good game about, well, if I got this amount of money or whatever, what I would do and all those things. Being completely blunt and honest, I have no idea how I would be if I had money. Mm-hmm. I'd like to think I know how I would be.
Yeah.
But I think that we
Well, you know how you are now.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think that would change if we had money, you know?
Yeah, you got to think.
It's very likely.
So, I mean, whether it's doing this job or it's, you know, and it's funny how that turned out because I did all that thinking about acting. I never dreamed for a second that I'd ever be in radio. I didn't go to school for this or anything. I got a break. I got an opportunity. I had two different times where two different program directors took a shot on me and believed in me. And I got a foot in the door. And I went into an industry that when Panama hired me, the very first thing he told me is nobody gets into this job for money. It's literally the first thing he told me. And I was okay with that. I was like, well, that just kind of is par for the course for me. Mm-hmm. I'm already doing that. I made that decision a long time ago. It doesn't mean that you can't make a good living doing something that you love to do, doing
Correct.
A passion. But
yeah.
As Melissa told you, and as I tell every single student I've ever had, have a day job. As I told my son, as I tell anybody.
Mm-hmm.
My oldest, Bria, I told her the same thing. Have a day job. It's what is happiness to you?
Mm-hmm.
That's something that you have to ask yourself. And I think the younger or the more... The sooner you can get to that answer, the better off you're going to be in your life and your career.
Mm-hmm.
And I think money brings its own set of problems, very different problems than, hey, how do I pay the bills? Hey, what am I going to eat tonight? It's a very different set of problems it brings, but it brings problems too.
Yeah.
And it's not as if life is always going to have problems.
Mm-hmm.
There's no situation where I can give you where, other than you being out in the mountains all by yourself, not dealing with anybody, you know, you might not deal with as much drama that way, but you're still going to have problems.
Oh, I don't know, James. We create a lot of drama in our own heads.
It's true. I know I would. If I was that guy, I would I'd be having fights with myself all the time.
I didn't say that. You said that. No,
exactly.
I didn't. Yes, you did.
I have a feeling I'd go bonkers in days, that guy, if I'm that guy.
Well, I can speak to the other side of this a little bit because I know people that are in jobs that they hate,
mm-hmm.
but that they make a lot of money and they feel stuck because now they've gotten to this point in their lives where they have to make that much money to pay their bills, to meet their the things that they have decided to purchase, that now you have payments to be made every month.
Yeah.
So you have to make that amount of money. It's really difficult to go, okay, well, I'm going to quit this job and, you know, do something else that pays less. Well, okay. That would be a really big change.
Yeah.
It's possible. It can be done.
I think that when you find that balance, you know, stick with it. Do yourself a favor and hang with it.
Mm-hmm.
As well said, Melissa. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll get into some more fun with Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club coming up for you on The Morning Show at WFHR.
I want a kazoo to play along with.
Yes. Oh, we should have a kazoo. We need to get a kazoo in the studio here so we can do that. Yes. It's time for Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. What we are about to do is some celebrating and encourage you to head on over to Misty's Menu. Now, keep in mind, Misty's is closed Wednesdays and Thursdays for the first couple of weeks of March. They will be opening their doors to regular hours on March 20th. So coming up in just a little bit here.
Yeah. Only one more week.
Yeah. They're open today, though, from 6 to 2 over at 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, wish him a great big good morning from all of us here at WFHR.
Mm-hmm.
Melissa, I need you to give me a one or a two.
I'm going to choose two.
All right. That gives us our qualifier. So we can get right into the celebrating. And first up, we want to wish a very happy birthday to one of our favorite people in radio, Mr. Chuck Gennaro.
Oh, happy birthday, Chuck.
Our general manager, our head engineer, really the veins, the muscles, the bones, everything of this station.
It's kind of the structure.
He is. I don't know where we did. So much has my radio career I owe to Chuck in many, many ways. In part because not so much that he gave me a break in the industry, but that he's shown how much he backs me, believes in me and stuff. And when you don't believe in yourself that much, it takes that sometimes, especially from somebody where Chuck doesn't say anything he doesn't mean.
That's
like, you
true.
Know, pretty straightforward guy.
Mm-hmm.
And when he says something like, okay, well, I can't, even in my brain, I can't fight what he's saying there. just a great guy. Chuck and I had a conversation one, it was a weekend. I was in on the weekend and he came in, and this is long before, you know, our changes and all that. We're at the old station, and I've got a, speaking of taking a job, you know, for money or something, I've got a couple of opportunities that I'm probably going to take, and they're going to take me probably to Vermont.
Mm.
And this is before the pandemic. This is, you know, all that stuff and everything. So Chuck is telling me, well, we've got this guy who's interested in buying the station, and it might actually happen, and he really wants you as a part of it. He doesn't just want to buy the station. He wants you as a part of this.
Oh.
And I really think what you're doing is good. This is where radio needs to go. This is what radio needs to be. And this and that. And it was a great conversation. And as I told him in it, I appreciate it, but I don't know how much I believe. And it was the days after, and it sits in your brain, and that seed grows. And like, all right, well, maybe I should talk to this guy. And I talked to Marcus, and here we still are.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so glad that I'm still here, because not only have I enjoyed what we as a team, what we as WFHR been able to do with the community and for the community and all these things, but I'm not in town. I'm probably not going to have the relationship I have with my kids.
That's true.
I mean, on many levels, I am a big fan of Mr. Chuck Gennaro. Obviously, Chuck grew up in this station, grew up at this place. His father, one of the original creators of WFHR. He is a radio lifer. And one of the smartest, I would say probably the smartest brain I've worked with in this industry.
Awesome.
As far as knowing radio, knowing it inside and out, not just the technical side of it, but what people want, what people are looking for, all those different things. If you like things I do on the air, a lot of it stems from Chuck.
Well, and he's a great voice.
God, he's got a great voice.
I try to steal it every time I can.
Yes, yes.
To use in our commercials.
Absolutely.
There's
should.
A new one coming up.
I'm so lucky that Chuck decided that he enjoyed working behind the scenes more than on the air, because if he wanted to be on there, he could take my job at his beat in a second. He's very, very charismatic and very fun. We appreciate you so much, Chuck.
Appreciate you, Chuck. Happy birthday.
Have a great day, sir. Also, I think that's the first time I've ever called Chuck sir. I think that's also celebrating a birthday today, Jenny Farmer.
Happy birthday, Jenny.
Have a great day, Jenny. We'll hope it's a good one for you. And our qualifiers today, Gary and Marlene Munch.
Ooh, Gary and Marlene. Happy anniversary.
Have a great anniversary, you two. We hope it's a good one for you. And thank you so much for celebrating with us. We want to celebrate with more of you. Get us your birthdays and anniversaries. Send them to info@WFHR.com. Like our Facebook page and direct message us on there. You can also email any of our staff. Pretty much just insert the name and then james.mailoff@civicmedia.us.
Correct.
That's pretty much how you do it.
Yeah, that's the template.
Yeah.
That's what I was looking for.
Good word.
I have one birthday I need to mention today of a dear person who's no longer with us. It's my Grandma Jean's birthday today.
Mm-hmm.
She would have been 88 this year.
Oh, nice.
But she passed away this fall, so she is no longer with us. But my Grandma Jean, she was my theater muse, my inspiration for getting involved in theater. And she was just such a wonderful, charismatic, endearing
awesome, tell it to you like it is person.
Something about this day. That's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you very, very much. I am very sorry for your family and their loss, but I appreciate you sharing that moment with us. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Sounds like a really my kind of person.
You would have loved her.
We take a look at some celebrity birthdays real quick. And one of my favorite gymnasts of all time, Simone Biles, is 26, Olympic gold medal gymnast.
Yes.
One of the greatest we've ever seen do it. So much fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
This is interesting. So you've got arguably the greatest gymnast of all time and arguably the greatest shooter in basketball history of all time. Steph Curry is 35 today. NBA All-Star, Golden State Warrior point guards, won 4 NBA championships, is the all-time leading in three-pointers made. And he's still got years to play here. And he's already shattered the record of three-pointers. And he's got years to play yet. But that's a record that still could be broken. The game is different now. There was a point in basketball history where people didn't even use they didn't even have a three-point shot. And the way they guard guys is differently. All that being said, you can put Steph Curry in any era, in any generation, and that man is going to light it up.
Mm-hmm.
That kid, he is just one of the great, like one of the most natural shooters I've ever seen in my life. And the greatest like arc of a shot you'll ever see. If you like the art of basketball, if you like the art of shooting, Steph Curry is it. There's a lot of people that are mad because Steph Curry has kind of made it seem like, so when Michael Jordan was huge, every kid was trying to slam a basketball with their tongue out. Steph Curry has gotten every kid to think that they could, because he doesn't look like necessarily your typical basketball player, that they could just, you know, everybody could turn into Steph Curry. And I some people don't like that. I think that's kind of cool. I think good.
No, I think that makes it attainable then.
Heck of a player. Heck of a human being too, it seems like, off the court.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Taylor Hanson is 40, middle brother in the Hansons.
Okay.
Chris Klein is 44. Oz in the American Pie movies. And he was in a couple of other things here and there. Let's see. Grace Park is 49. Heather Kim on A Million Little Things. She was also in Hawaii Five-O and Battlestar Galactica.
Ooh, I like her in Battlestar Galactica.
She was Cylon in Battlestar Galactica. I didn't know I'd see that one.
And Officer... No, that's Hawaii Five-O.
I thought she
was one of the officers.
She definitely was on Hawaii Five-O. They say she was Kono on Hawaii Five-O.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. Kristen Bush is 53. Half of Sugarland, the band Sugarland.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Tamara Tooney is 64. She was the coroner on Law & Order SVU. She's so good at her job. Every show like that needs a funny coroner. You can't have a law show like that without having a good coroner. You got to have a good coroner.
Because they got to have a good sense of humor.
Yes, yes. And usually a sandwich by them. They usually got to have a sandwich by them.
To be able to eat while they're dissecting a brain.
Yeah, every episode, you see it. Like there's food in there, and they all have a sarcastic sense of humor. And I love it. I love everyone. She's very good. Rick Dees, 73 today. We can't be doing the job we're doing, Melissa, without giving some credit to Mr. Rick Dees, one of the greats in radio history. God, Rick is still doing it, too, or is he? Yes.
Rigdon Orsmond Dees III.
As far as I can see here, he is still working, too. Rick Dees, still working. Yeah.
Rigdon Osmond Dees III.
Man, see, this is what I'm talking about. This is what I love about this industry. Like, I don't want to retire. I like the idea of being able to work until I'm 73. That's how weird I am. That seems like cool. More power to you, Mr. Dees.
Keep it up.
The great, the wonderful Mr. Billy Crystal is 75 today.
Oh, wow.
One of the greatest MCs I've ever seen. Billy Crystal hosting the Oscars, I think, was an art. I think he was the, outside of Bob Hope, the best that I've seen do it. There's some other greats. Jack Benny, as Seth mentioned the other day, is another great one, too.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Billy Crystal, fantastic actor. We've seen him in City Slickers and 100 other movies, When Harry Met Sally and everything.
The Princess Bride.
The Princess Bride, of course. Yes. You never had it so good. I'm not listening. Billy Crystal, along with Robin Williams and Whoopi Goldberg, for many years did comic relief. It was something that the three of them started. It was just a thing that they grabbed some other comedians and other actors, and they were going to hope to raise some money for homelessness. Mm. Nobody knows exactly how much money Comic Relief has raised in the time that it was around. So as great as Billy Crystal is, as great work, all the great work that he has done in his life, I think that the greatest thing Billy Crystal has ever done, and career-wise, is Comic Relief, by far and away. And that's saying something, because he's one of the greats to ever do it. Billy Crystal, serious actor. When Harry Met Sally, he's proven what he can do. Comedic actor has proven what he can do. Stand-up comedy. He's directed. He's done literally everything. Still, Comic Relief, to me, is the greatest thing that man has achieved, and I don't think he'd argue with me. I think that all three of them, actually, Whoopi Goldberg, Robin Williams, I think they'd all agree to that.
Yeah.
And I thank him for what he's done with that cause. Mm-hmm. Another great, it just keeps coming, Melissa. We've got nothing. I'm looking at the rest of the list here, and they're all legends in their craft. Quincy Jones is 90 today. He's been nominated for 80 Grammys. He's won 28 of them. His greatest, just a ton of things. He's also the father of Rashida Jones, a wonderful actress you've seen on Parks and Recs and other great shows. Quincy Q was jamming with Ray Charles before anyone even knew who Ray was. He discovered Ray Charles. He helped put Michael Jackson on the map. Like, you think Michael Jackson's big, take the Quincy Jones production of Thriller away, take away all these other things, and Michael Jackson's still gonna have a great career, but he ain't gonna be the king of pop, not without Quincy Jones. Quincy Jones is the man. Like, Quincy Jones can make me sound good. That's how good of a producer he is.
Did you know his middle name is Delight?
No, I didn't.
Yep.
Oh man, also Chicago's own. I had to mention. Greatest producer of all time, you can make the argument, though. Quincy Jones. The 80 Grammys he's been nominated for. And one of the greatest actors of all time, Michael Caine, is 90 today. Ooh. And I do mean that. One of the greatest actors of all time. I believe that genuinely. Alfred in the Dark Knight trilogy. Nigel Powers in Goldmember. Michael Caine's career goes much farther than that, though, of course, than bit roles in good movies. Michael Caine was struggling as an actor and could not get a break. So he was about ready to give up on the craft or just go away completely. What he did was he saw in the newspaper this this ad for like £5, which was like $2 or whatever, to learn how to not blink. And he was like, all right, well, I'll take a shot at this. I'll learn this or whatever. See what it does. He does this, ends up having an audition, and lands the role and ends up becoming one of the greats. Just from that simple little class that he took and everything is what he gives a big part of his the credit to his career for. But Michael Caine is easily one of the greatest actors I've ever seen.
Many movies.
I don't even know where to begin with his career. The Italian Job. I mean, there's so many different things we could say. Great actor. Kirby Puckett, born in this day in 1960, passed away way too young in 2006. Again, Chicago's own. Kirby Puckett, one of the greater hitters I've ever seen. Also one of the most fun-looking athletes you will ever see. You look at Kirby Puckett, you don't see...
He's got a nice smile.
Oh, great smile Kirby Puckett had. His career got cut short because he took a ball to the eye late in his career. He had to end up retiring early. And then he ended up passing early, too. But Minnesota Twins legend, I have no doubt that Seth is going to be celebrating Mr. Puckett today. As we all should. If you're a baseball fan, you should celebrate Kirby Puckett. It's one of the faces of the when we were kids, one of the faces of the sport, I would say. Mm. And one of the greatest names in baseball history, Kirby Puckett. Kirby, come on, that's Puckett. A great name. That's
it is a great name.
And just one more name to throw out there just to wrap all this up. I don't know. Just one to throw in. Albert Einstein. Yeah, no, nothing too big. Born in 1879, passed away in 1955. Hopefully you don't need me to tell you who Albert Einstein is. I don't have to go through his hits. Albert Einstein, one of the greatest minds of all time. And one of the greatest things about his mind is after having the work that he did with the atomic bomb and all that stuff, the guilt and the what he dealt with after that and everything. I think the insight that he had speaks to his intelligence just as much as, E equals MC squared. One of the greatest minds we'll have ever had on this planet, Mr. Einstein. Also, one of the guys I look up to fashion-wise. I'm joking. But you would think
I think you could pull off his hairstyle.
You would think that I model a lot of my fashion after Mr. Einstein, even though I do not. But we appreciate Mr. Einstein. We appreciate everybody that got us their birthdays and anniversaries, and we deeply appreciate Mr. Chuck Gennaro.
Yes. Happy birthday, Chuck.
Enjoy your day, sir.
Don't work hard today.
No. Yeah, right. Yeah, that's. I don't know if that exists for Chuck.
I don't think it does.
Happy birthday to Jenny Farmer.
Happy birthday, Jenny.
And a very happy anniversary to our qualifiers, Gary and Marlene Munch.
Happy anniversary, Gary and Marlene.
Enjoy and celebrate with our friends at Misty's Menu. They're open right now till 2, open 6 to 2, over there at 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, wish them a great day from all of us at WFHR, where we're going to go to Melissa's News. You go ahead and enjoy that. We'll have more for you coming up at 97.5 FM, WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Serious comedy to start your day. We hope you're having a great day out there. Thanks for joining Melissa and I. 8:41 on the clock. And we're going to dive into a couple of important topics throughout this morning here. And one of them that I wanted to touch on was PFAS. Melissa, where do you want to start with this?
It's a really big topic, James, but the newest report that just came out is the one you heard at the top of the hour from CBS, where they have discovered the PFAS contamination in all toilet paper. The top 21 manufacturers of toilet paper in the nation? Mm-hmm. It's in all of them. And that's disturbing because not necessarily, we don't eat toilet paper. At least I don't. I don't know about you, James.
Yeah,
but
I haven't.
I know you're picky, but the problem is that we flush that down the toilet and that goes into our wastewater facility to get treated along with the other waste that goes down our toilet. That's putting PFAS in our wastewater treatment facility, more of them. You know, this isn't PFAS that are coming from the groundwater itself or from, you know, these sources that we've heard about over the last, I want to say, year or so that we've really been starting to hear about this in the news. Governor Evers realized that this was a problem quite some time ago and started the clean water initiatives that he's been working on throughout the state. But he's been getting a lot of pushback on this. I think what we're going to see happening here and what has to happen is we need to figure out ways to get the PFAS out of our drinking water. You've heard the reports of some of these areas where the contamination is really bad, that the DNR has been supplying bottled water. Places in La Crosse on French Island, there are people that can't. They're afraid to drink their water. We have a new treatment facility in Wausau that they just finished installing and have online, but they were giving their residents either bottled water or water pitchers to help remove PFAS. The frustrating thing to me is this person who decided to just stay on the board, on the DNR board, Fred Prenn, has overstayed beyond his appointment because he could.
Yeah, this is ridiculous.
And then he was able to say, no, we're not going to regulate groundwater for PFAS. We're not going to do that. He was the vote that stopped it from happening. They have, he, in his defense now, much after the fact, after he stayed on, what was it, like 18 months longer than he was elected to remain on the board, did then vote in, I want to say, December to allow some legislation to move forward to look at the groundwater issue of PFAS. That's going to take 3 years, James.
Yeah.
For them to be able to move forward on that.
While damage is being done in that 3 years.
Yes. And continue to be being done, as we knew about this as a problem quite some time ago. But the cost to companies is too high.
When I was young, my grandfather on my mom's side was the one that really got me into politics, really loved politics. But it was my papa that gave me the ultimate lesson in politics, that if one side had the cure for cancer and charged a dollar for it, the other side would say they're charging too much. That this design of politics, that all it does is divide us and get us to not talk about what's happening to us.
Yeah.
And until we get away from that system, we're never going to really have a America that we can really all enjoy and love and prosper in.
And drink the water.
And drink the damn water. Of all the simplest of basic needs, the basic things that you can give to your fellow man, your fellow human being, water is arguably the most simple one.
Do you want to know how much it's going to cost the city of Wausau to keep their water treatment facility going? $800,000 a year to maintain the system that they have put in. They did receive $1.6 million federal funding to help with this $15 million project. Well, it's there. They have a deficit of around $15 million on the project. They've received $1.6 million in federal funding through some federal funds mm-hmm. to help with this. But to maintain the system how it is currently, $800,000 a year. Now, eventually they're going to replace it with a permanent granular activated carbon filtration system. But we're going to have to do that in all of these places that are suffering from PFAS contamination, James.
To the point of Governor Evers getting pushback on this, I can't think of many more silly things, especially considering, you know, one of the first conversations I had with Representative Krug, one of the early conversations I had with Senator Teston, both of those had to do with waters and PFAS and getting them out of our water. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not as if that this doesn't affect Republicans any more than it does Democrats or something like that. Like, one of the biggest things that can fix this and that we can get to a better place with in this is holding these companies accountable, making them have to change the way that they do their things. Mm-hmm. But the only way to change that is to change, some of the politicians that are in office that are in their pocket.
Right.
So, you have to take care of that before you can get these companies to hold these companies accountable, because you can't expect them to do it on their own. They're not going to. They're always going to go for the profit over us.
Well, why would they? If it costs them more money, they're not going to change what they're doing without somebody saying, no, you have to.
They're certainly not going to do it for basic human, goodness or anything like that.
No,
they're
out of
do
the
it.
Goodness of their heart?
Yeah, no business has ever done anything out of the goodness of their heart.
I mean, they didn't lower the cap on insulin here. What was the Lilly company who was finally doing it? Because they saw their stock dropping.
If you are tired of this conversation, if you are bored by this conversation, if you are getting closer and closer to, flipping the channel or anything because of this conversation, you can do that all you want. That's fine. You can keep doing that. But it's not going anywhere. Well, it's going to be continue to be an issue until we face it. You can go ahead and bury your head in the sand if you want. Enjoy that. Guess what sand is? Dry. There's no water.
No water.
And that's
what we're going to
be left with.
Well, yeah. We want water without forever chemicals in it. One of the things that environmental activists in Wausau, a group there that's pushing right now, is they're concerned about the fact that the Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce is suing in the process of trying to overturn a law. Well, they say they're not, but the lawsuit they have against the DNR, it looks like this might be something that could happen. We have a law in place. It's called the 1978 Spills Law. And this law gives the state the ability to quickly respond to toxic spills and punish those who are responsible. Now, the Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce say that they're not trying to overturn that. They're just that. But they are saying the DNR uses that law to bully landowners. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing, James. If there's toxic chemicals spilt on a piece of land, mm-hmm. whoever spilt it should be responsible for cleaning it up.
Yes, yes.
Not hiding it.
Look, we figured this out as kids. He who smelt it, dealt it. We figured this out a long time ago. Sorry, I was trying to find a light moment to wrap up.
Well, because it's happening in areas where somebody buys a piece of property and they find out after the fact that some roofing company dumped a bunch of asbestos-containing shingles, word, on the land, and now they're responsible for cleaning it up. That's not fair.
No, it's not. No, it ain't right. We are going to take a break right here. We're going to come back, and we've got a Then a Right story for you. Another one. We also have some good stories of the day, of course, coming up a little bit later. And we're going to kick off the 9 o'clock hour with our good friend Taylor, Miss Allison Dairyland's own. We're going to talk with Taylor about March Madness and how cheese can get involved in March Madness.
And I'll get off my soapbox here.
And well, no, that's okay. You hang on to that, because a little bit later, I'm going to be getting on it. I'll tell you that right now in our Then a Right stories. Yeah.
Okay.
We got that coming up for you a little bit more and a little bit on the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back to the morning show here at WFHR. 8:53 on the clock. Melissa and I are going to take it right to the top of the hour. After CBS News is done informing you, we will be joined by Taylor, Allison Dairyland's own.
Yes.
Looking forward to that. Right now, we do a lot of That Ain't Right stories, and they tend to be featured in the Florida area or things like that. Sometimes we've had some Wisconsin ones. It is only fair that I pick on my fellow Chicagoans.
Oh, good.
And our That Ain't Right story takes us to my old stomping grounds. And this is messed up. This is a That Ain't Right story, all right. This is a serious accusation for a company that has the word wings right there in the name. Some guy in Chicago is suing Buffalo Wild Wings and claims their boneless wings are really just chicken nuggets.
I saw this headline.
He filed a lawsuit on Friday accusing them of false advertising. He's seeking an unspecified amount in compensation. His basic argument is that if you call something wings, most people would assume they're made of actual wing meat. Mm-hmm. But it's really chunks of breast meat that's deep fried and made to look like wings. The company's not even denying it. They downplayed the lawsuit in a tweet that said, quote, "It's true. Our boneless wings are all white meat chicken. Our hamburgers contain no ham, and our buffalo wings are 0% buffalo."
Hey, that's a good comeback.
Nicely done. Yes. Nicely done, Buffalo Wild Wing.
Yep.
Technically, they're not really nuggets either. Normally, those are made with reconstituted meat.
Mm-hmm. Reconstituted
meat. tiny bits of meat molded into a nugget shape.
Yep.
But the guy suing claims that their product is closer to nuggets than actual deboned wings. As a side note, I've got a couple of friends that believe that boneless wings are not, they should not be eaten. They shouldn't be a thing.
Well, they're not really wings.
Yeah. A buddy of mine refused it. Like, we went to this wing place. He was so wanting wings. We go there.
All they had was boneless.
Yeah, they were out of anything else. We had a hamburger. Like, it was that frustrating. I was blown away. I'm like, you're really standing on this is a hill you're going to die on, man. He's like, yeah, boneless wings are wrong. Like,
well, because they're not, wings are usually drumsticks and wings. You get both.
Yeah.
But they're dark meat.
Mm-hmm.
Boneless wings are not.
Yeah. So that I see the difference. I see that part. I don't eat a ton. I'm like the one guy in the world that doesn't eat a ton of wings. Hmm. And I didn't quite understand that until I saw his passion behind it. I'm like, all right, I get it. I get that I don't get it.
Yeah.
Our court systems are overblogged to the upload.
There are far more important things that they could be focused
on. Way too much more.
He's just looking for a handout.
Yeah. I'm so tired of these things. And I almost wish we had like a whole, like we kind of do have a small claims court system and everything, but even that gets cluttered up.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of think that this stuff should automatically be funneled to the people's court. Like, go right to or Judge Judy or any of those daytime judge shows. There's like 90 of them now. I think there is like 9. I saw one the other day. There's 3 judges up there. Like, I ain't going to that court. I've had bad experiences with one judge. I'm not going to one. You ain't going to get me to go to judge with 3 judges?
This should automatically be a TikTok.
Yes.
With an AI robot lawyer and an AI robot judge.
They could just laugh at this.
Yep.
Like, yeah. I will say too, this guy really is like he does. I really don't think he does. He knows. I'm positive he doesn't know what he's doing, because he seems to have a problem with Buffalo Wild Wings. All he's doing is helping Buffalo Wild Wings advertise.
Exactly,
this is doing nothing to hurt them.
He secretly works for them.
I wouldn't be shocked nowadays. Nothing would shock
me. Or his significant other.
Yes.
Or his child.
I'm actually that. That would make more sense than him actually doing this lawsuit. It's a That Ain't Right story for him. It's a good story of the day in some ways for them, though.
Well, because they're Wild getting Wings. Free advertising. We're talking about them.
That tweet was perfect. Our boneless wings are all white meat. Our hamburgers contain no ham. And our buffalo wings, 0% buffalo.
0% buffalo. That's the best.
Great response. Great response.
No, it's very well done.
I think especially with food, fast food places, there needs to be accountability. I think that that's fair.
Yes. But you need to know what you're eating.
Years ago when people were like, somebody measured a 6-inch sub or whatever, and it was like 5 3/4 or something like that. It was like a half a hair off or something, or there's some things like that. Like that, again, our court systems are so bogged down. Why don't you just do this incredible idea I just had? Don't go there. I just thought of this, Melissa, and I got to copyright this real quick before somebody steals that idea.
You should get on that.
You don't go to the establishment.
Yeah, if you got a problem with the food they serve, don't go there.
My mind was just blown. I hope everybody else is okay out there. You were sitting down when I said that because, wow, what an idea. Well, what a concept.
Buffalo Wild Wings is not the only restaurant that serves boneless chicken wings.
Oh, so this guy's going to have more lawsuits.
Yeah. Well, if it doesn't work with this one, let's try another one.
Keep trying this out everything like that. Yeah, no, this is it's pathetic. That's a that. Even if he won the case, I would shame this person. Like if he was a family member or a friend, I would shame him. I would be like, shame. Just pointing shame.
And the judge who is going to have to look at this case, if it gets that far, is going to have to try to be professional about it. But it's so ridiculous.
Yeah, it couldn't be more ridiculous. We are going to be joined by Allison Dareland's own Miss Taylor is going to join us in just a little bit after CBS News. We're going to talk about Wisconsin cheese meeting March Madness.
Woo-hoo.
It's going to be fun. Looking forward to that.
Basketball, my favorite things.
That's coming up for us. After that, we'll have some good stories, some Danny Wright stories, some entertainment news, and plenty more coming up in our 9 o'clock hour on the morning show at WFHR.